This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Evil Is Going On by Mid-South area great Howlin' Wolf. A little Halloween music, also in honor of the Grizzlies injury report.
What are your favorite candies, Chris? Your three you've got all candy, all the commercial candies offered to you, and you can take three. What are the three you're picking up?
I don't do like non-chocolate, non-peanut butter candy anymore. Okay. And so the Reese's stick is probably my favorite
candy bar. It comes in a stick. I didn't really know it came in a stick.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite candy bar. The Kit Kat, the Snickers. I like those. The classics.
Okay. Last night was unexpected and deflating. You have a piece up and about it. I don't even know where to begin. Where would you like to begin, Chris? What went wrong? Let's start there. What went wrong?
I thought it was a pretty unserious first half. I coming off of having lost that game in Chicago and sort of collapsing in the second half and blowing a 20-point lead, and then you have a big practice. You have a day of practice, you know, to get everything, get everybody, you know, refocused, and then the team is your plane is coming in on the second half of back to back. I just thought Taylor Jenkins used the word careless. I think that was the right word. I don't know how many turnovers they had in the first half, but most of their turnovers came in the first half.
15.
There was a lot of careless ball handling, a lot of careless play. It seemed like they weren't taking it seriously enough. It didn't seem focused enough. And then by that point, you're fighting uphill in the second half without Desmond Bane. And, like, you know, that's a hard spot to be in.
Right.
Unless you're going to play John Jaron, you know, 20 of the 24 minutes in the second half, which they just weren't going to do. They did. You know, to me, the first half was unserious basketball, and that was the problem with the game. The problem for the team is the Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart injuries more than anything else.
Right. Okay, let's start with the game first, though. Do you ascribe that? I mean, I'm kind of, and like at some point, like you did bring up, but maybe because everybody else is bringing it up, Taylor Jenkins' job security. But at some point, if you acknowledge that was a disaster against Chicago or whatever, a disappointing effort, and you rip the team and you focus on having a better effort and you come out with that kind of effort, at whose feet do you lay that?
Yeah, no, it reflects poorly on the coaching, clearly.
Right.
I brought that up only to say I think people have misread the general circumstances. I could be surprised. But I don't think the circumstances actually suggest a quick hook for Taylor Jenkins this season. I think the circumstances actually suggest quite the opposite.
Right.
Because it's not just like, you brought in a new lead assistant and you got a coach in waiting. That is not what they did. They did this massive overhaul of the whole coaching staff. And I think that actually suggests a longer leash, not a shorter one, this season.
Right. Now, since it came up now, let's bring it up. That's sort of what I was having this exact conversation with John Martin. This isn't – they did an elaborate – reconstruction of their
pull the plug on that five games in.
Right.
It's too much. And so that's why I don't take that stuff seriously.
They certainly
even
won't.
Though in a normal season this would be the kind of thing.
Right. It would be the time you would. But they've reconstructed the whole staff, reconstructed the philosophy. They're not gonna
Right.
And if they did pull the plug, don't you imagine it would be internal? Like they're not bringing someone with their own ideas and philosophies out.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I just don't take any of that. And I could be surprised, but I don't take any of that seriously right now.
Okay. So it was an unserious effort in the first half, and then you have these injuries. I'll get to the injuries in a minute. But on this minutes stuff,
right?
Once again, you have Dennis Schroeder, who played 42 minutes, I think it was, the previous night.
Right.
And he played more minutes last night than any of your stars. And honestly, the leader in minutes for the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter last night was Jalen Wells, next Jake LaRavia.
Right.
And this is what people are outraged about. Why don't you pay your best players? Why don't you play your best players?
Yeah, I do think this is clearly the thing that leaps out. This is the story I wrote about a few days ago. This is the outlier of the Grizzlies relative to the league right now. Now, to say it's the outlier is not the same thing as saying this is wrong. I think it's somewhat more complicated than that because Ja Morant did have a major shoulder injury that cost him all last season and most of the offseason. He had a sprained ankle in preseason that cost him games. He's dealing with thigh soreness now. Jaren Jackson had a hamstring thing. These are soft muscle injuries. Are the Grizzlies right or wrong to treat it the way they are? I can't definitively say the answer to that. I think Jaren in particular, like Ja looked like he was banged up. Jaren did not. Jaren was awesome. And like, I struggle with Jaren in particular thinking that if he can play 28, he can't play 33. I personally struggle with that. My instinct is that they are overly cautious on some of this stuff. But it is pretty complicated. And with the Ja stuff, I think we can get to like the Ja postgame stuff. I because it's related to this. I think the Ja postgame stuff has been both, to me, it is both less clear than a lot of people have made it out to be, and probably less important too. But like Ja is banged up, and like he's sort of acknowledged that he's banged up, you know? And so it's not crystal clear, A, what the right approach to that is, and it's not also crystal clear to me what Ja's attitude about that is. I think it's that is not at all clear.
Well, okay. I like you, struggle. If I thought this was purely philosophical, you have two players in peak physical condition who are being set for strategic reasons.
They're not saying we're better playing Jaren 28 than 33. That's not what they're saying.
Right, exactly. I have to believe that a big part of this is injury or health related or whatever. Even though there is, it's not all of it because very clearly he said it's philosophical.
Yeah.
But if Jaren hadn't had the hamstring, if Ja hadn't had the surgery,
they would have played more minutes last night.
I think they would have played more minutes last night.
Yes.
And so I think
it is a question whether they are right in this approach. It seems like intuitive that like, you know, this is the best way to manage guys physically. But like, look at the constant string of injuries and stuff they have. And so it's not clear.
I don't know how you deal with that because on the one hand, like maybe it's
like other guys around the league are banged up too, and like when they're available, they still play. Yeah.
The thing in terms of Ja's comments, and I'll read them here. I'll read some of his comments here. He said, "Now I've lost it."
Well, there's two separate parts of it.
Yeah.
The first part was. And to me, the interpretations are somewhat in conflict with each other. I was there. I was standing in the scrum. The first thing was like, you know, something about like, how do you deal with you know, the playing time thing or whatever, not playing more? And he says, you know, you live with it. And a lot of people have taken that and said, aha, Ja's mad that he's not playing more, which could be true. He's mad at his coaches because they won't play him more. That might be true. Or it might be like, I'm banged up and I got to live with playing less because I'm banged up. And it could be that because the second part of it
Here's
was...
Here's the second part.
Yeah.
Every time I play a game and I sit the next, people say, oh, you're soft, or you ain't this, or you ain't this. And then you all got guys sitting out for longer than you want them to, and it's like, oh, he should have sat out. You got guys out here battling, and that's what you get for it. Y'all want me to play every game? All right, see you tomorrow.
So if you take that, and put it with the comments from the night before or opening night where he said, you know, I played because Twitter like was, you know, pounding me or whatever. You put that stuff together, that's A, him acknowledging that he is not 100% physically. And it sort of sounds to me like a defense of managing injury stuff, not only for him, but for other players, right? And so to me, that seems to be the case with the second half of that, and that is in conflict with the idea of, Ja is mad at the coaches because they're not playing anymore. I think Ja probably would like to play more, but I think Ja also doesn't feel 100%. And so to me, it's way more complicated than it seems. I also think that just like, you know, because he's a celebrity, like Ja speaking becomes like the thing. Ja talks, you know.
Well, and it also, I mean, this part, y'all want me to play every game? All right, see you tomorrow, is a little Yes, actually. Like, it's, you get paid handsomely. It's not, shouldn't be a heroic thing to the idea that you would play again tonight.
Yeah, but this is in the territory of why I choose to ignore this stuff sometimes, right. Even though I would get more clicks if I wrote about it.
Right.
Because it becomes more of a thing than it needs to be and that it should
clearly
be, right? And not, it's sort of like you've been down this road, not to sort of implicate you, right, with this, because this is like a generation ago, right, you talked about it. Like when Jason Williams said, like, you know,
right, yes,
he got mad in a locker room and spouted, right, something, right, off, and it became a thing.
Yep.
It was more of a thing than it needed to,
yes,
become, right? To me,
100%.
This is that kind of genre. Like, you know, it's after a loss and he's frustrated and there's like 15 people standing hovering over him,
right,
and like, and you know, he's sort of just talking, and to me, it's not that big of a thing.
I think that's probably right. So, and then the larger thing is, you do wish, as you pointed out in your piece today, you wish you would care less about social media.
Yeah, definitely. We've been down this road before. It's a generational thing. It's not a specific to Ja thing, but there's just more tension on Ja. Like, there was a thing, right, last year of Jake LaRavia was saying something about, people were doubting me on Twitter or whatever. So it's not just Ja, but Ja's more important, you know, right, than the other.
And it's
people.
Very hard, honestly, like generational. I'm 63. I find it hard to,
right,
when,
right,
people are ripping me on Twitter. I don't particularly,
yeah,
love it. And I don't have thousands of people ripping me on Twitter, but the lesson there is to stay off Twitter,
right,
or, anyway, okay. So then you have this situation where you've had these two bad losses consecutively, but now a lineup that is already short on shooting is missing its best shooter, or might be,
right,
we don't know how long, Desmond Bane, and a lineup that is already missing Luke, Vince, and Gigi as wings is now missing.
You go in Cam Spencer, who may not help you, but he's a player on your roster
on your
who
wing.
You cannot play at that position. Yeah.
And you're already, and now you got two more who we don't know how long they're going to be out, and that's calamitous.
It certainly can be if it comes back. You know, I don't want to.
Right.
There's no guarantee that Desmond Bane and Marcus Smart are playing tonight or this weekend or,
right,
who knows, right? The fundamental thing with this Grizzlies team, and this goes back to like before the season started, for all the coaching changes and the system stuff and even the minutes playing time stuff, which I think is more important than all the rest. If the durability of the three stars,
right,
that is the most important thing to this team. When they've played one game out of five in which Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant both started and ended the game as available basketball players, and they had a big win over a really good team in against Orlando, and they played four games where that has not been the case, and they're 1-3. And those numbers don't, that math doesn't math. If you only get 20% of your games with your three best players all available,
right,
and then you only win 25% of the rest of the games, you're not going to be in the postseason, okay? Like, no matter what else, no matter who's coaching, no matter what your system is, to some degree, almost no matter what, like, your playing time stuff is, assuming, like, you know, whether,
right,
they're playing 28 or 33, you know, whatever. That is the most important thing. How many games are they going to get with all three of those players available? Right now, it's 1 out of 5 in terms of having them for a,
right,
whole game.
Did you, were they in the locker room afterwards, either the two most recent injured players? Did they?
I didn't see them in the locker room, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm more worried about the oblique just because, hey, it's Desmond Bane.
Yes.
Right, right. And an oblique can cover a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Other things. Zach Edey had a productive first half. He didn't get any shots in the second half. Jaren was really good, but didn't probably get enough shots.
Right.
10 of 12?
Like 10 of 12, I think, yeah.
Yeah, thoughts on those two?
So the Edey stuff I almost heard about this morning, but I was trying to keep it to 5 and keep it without getting too long. Because I did see some stuff. This is me. I should get off Twitter, too. I saw people like, why is Zach Edey playing in the fourth quarter? He's 6-9, you know. Zach Edey did not play well last night.
Right.
The box score looks good.
Right.
He was 6-9 because he's 7'5", and he got set up at the rim, you,
right,
know, to convert shots. And even then, there was a couple he should have dunked that he was too soft on.
Right.
I think Zach Edey will probably be fine, but he was not playing well. Like, his defense was not good. People were having to like point him where to go on the floor.
Right.
Like, I have zero issue with them not playing Zach Edey down the stretch of tight games right now. He's,
right,
not ready for that,
right,
yet. Jaren, I mean, you know, he scored 30-something points, right, or scored 30 points in 20-something minutes. So it's not like he was never touching the ball and was unproductive, right. But he was playing so well that, like, yeah, more, sure. More minutes, more touches, more everything.
Brandon Clark had a better night.
They
more
got
active.
It. What got them back into the game, and I really thought, in this moment, I thought they were going to push through. What got them back into the game was, like, going back to the old, playing the hits. It was Dez was not available, but it was Jaren, Brandon, all playing together. And for a stretch there, like, everything they did was involving those players. It was those players scoring, or Ja assisting Brandon Clark, or Brandon Clark with the putback on the Ja penetration. Right. Like, they cut it, I think, from, like, a 13-point deficit to, like, 4 or 5 in a little stretch. And then, you know, Jaren come back out of the game, and then it goes away, and then it's too late when you bring them back in. Part of that is they tend to play, with Ja in particular, he tends to play heavier in, like, the first and third quarters, and then less in the second and fourth. And when it's a tight game, like Ja could have played more minutes, period. But in terms of the way that rotation works, when it's a tight game, people are mad you don't play more in the fourth. But I think it's a matter of general principle. Front-loading minutes is the right way to go. I would like more minutes, but front-loading them is the right way to go, because in most games, the last 5 minutes don't actually matter.
I don't know if there's anyone else who was particularly notable. Jake LaRavia played a lot of minutes. But
there's a lot of shots.
Have to.
Jake LaRavia he's got a deadline today on a team option for next season. I don't think that's a crystal clear decision. I'll be interested to see which way they go on that.
Grizzlies signed a dude, another Laker.
The Lakers are the two-way farm team for the Grizzlies. Colin Castleton, he's a 7-foot center who was good in summer league last year. People thought maybe he would be a thing, and he wasn't a thing. So he'll replace, you know, Jay Huff as sort of the center on the two-way. The way things have gone now, like, it would sort of be nice to have a two-way who was a wing who could step in and give you minutes instead of, like, you know, Spencer's hurt and Castleton's another center you don't really need at the moment, and, like, Yuki can't play. And, like, the Yuki story was great. It seemed like, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever. It's one of your three two-ways. But now if you have, like, 6 wings injured, it'd be nice if, like, that two-way was, like, you know, a less, like, entertaining player who could play basketball, you know?
There's been bigger worries, and so this is down on the list. But Josh shooting is it's more, A, they're not a great shooting roster, but then it feels like the level of difficulty of shots he was having to attempt last night.
Right.
Because everything is going into a thicket with 3 guys and trying to, you know, create space and circus shots. He's shooting 16% from 3. And obviously he didn't have the offseason to work on his shot. His shoulder was, you know, surgery. But that doesn't help any.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm
not worried about
Josh
it.
Josh shooting's a real thing. Shooting percentage through 5 games, I don't really care about. But, yeah, I mean, that's something to watch over time.
Why are the Bucks struggling?
That roster is really creaky. That's, you know, preseason I was down relative to consensus on Denver and Milwaukee, and that looks pretty good so far, and for the same reason. They got maybe the 2 best players in the world, and the roster has really decayed around them. You got Giannis, who is great. You got Dame Lillard, who's a great scorer, but it's never been a good defender, and now he's in his mid-30s.
Right.
Chris Middleton had surgery on both ankles this summer and is not playing. Brook Lopez is like 37, and like the rest of these dudes are dudes. I mean, this is a guy, you talk about the Grizzlies not playing, you know, Ja Morant or Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson 30-plus minutes. The Bucks are playing Taurean Prince 30-plus minutes. And so I just think that roster is not good, but they have Giannis.
You did, by the way, close with a note of hope based on past history and Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, that was the next to last item on the thing. But the Grizzlies have never had the best start they've ever had in an opening calendar month, like in October or in some years because of COVID, it was a different month. The best start they've ever had in a opening calendar month is 4-3. And so they've never got off a good start. Said twice they've started 9-10, so a losing record quarter of the way into the season almost, and still made the playoffs, including the year they won 56. There has been a history of the Taylor Jenkins teams to sort of click, to get off to a slow start and then things click in like December, January. I think that could very easily happen again, but that really requires the health thing to come together.
Requires health.
And it requires them to be able to keep it together, you know, psychologically, spiritually, whatever, you know, to get to that point.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We're going to play Writer Than Right Trivia coming up next. Jeffrey, what is the fabulous prize package?
Jeff, we're going to have four tickets to tonight's Grizzlies game against the Bucks. That's 7 p.m. tonight. Also, four tickets to the Mid-South Showdown. That's November the 17th when the Mississippi State Bulldogs take on Utah at the Lander Center. That's in college basketball. Also, two tickets to the 901 Wrestling Show for November. That will be the last show of 2024.
All right, 445-0929, 445-0929. We'll say the winning streak comes, the losing streak comes to an end at 2, and so we'll take caller number 2, 445-0929, 445-0929. In the meantime, I will tell you, you should get ready for NFL action with FanDuel. We got a game tonight, Texans and Jets.
New customers. That line stinks.
Getting new customers. What do you think? What is the line telling us? We wondered why the Jets are favored.
Yes.
The Jets continue to be favored. Why are the Jets favored?
I guess they think it's like last stand.
It's in New York. You can get a ticket for $13, I saw. Anyway, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So go ahead, put together a same-game parlay for the Jets' last stand. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. We'll play Right or the Right Trivia when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Enough misery and unhappiness over the Grizzlies. Let's play trivia. Kevin Cerrito joins the program. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy Jolloween.
All right, your three favorite candies.
Ooh, three favorite. Ah, that's tough. I'm really into sour candy these days. Sour candy and sour beer. So anything that's like, sour.
Like Sour Patch Kids. Is that what we're talking about? What else is sour? But
those are great. I think Trader Joe's has I like store brand sour candies, like Trader Joe's and IKEA, actually. We started doing trivia and bingo at IKEA.
Uh-huh.
IKEA, yeah, they sell their own like sour gummies at IKEA, their own brand. And they're fantastic. Those are my favorite ones right now.
All right. Jeffrey, do we have what else is going on in your world, Kevin? Tell us a little bit. Where you're going to be. Are you going to be anywhere tonight?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. So, yeah, it is Halloween. We've got trick or trivia happening at Hampline Brewing in Memphis and then Dan McGinnis in South Haven. So you come play trivia. We'll have a costume contest with that. If you're more into music bingo, want to listen to some spooky tunes, we've got Halloween music bingo happening down at Laughlin Yard. Of course, the Grizzlies game will be on at all of the locations. We'll have costume contest, and it's a fun free way to get out and have some fun tonight. But also, you know, it is Halloween. We always like to remind folks this time of year that tomorrow you'll be thinking about the other holiday coming up, and there's a few of them. Jeffrey, I know Thanksgiving before. If you're thinking about your last minute Christmas parties and holiday parties for your office, or if you got to organize that, feel free to reach out to us. Go to our website, cerritoentertainment.com. We do have private events, whether it's music bingo or trivia. It makes a fun end of the year function for your company. So we're always thinking about that and helping people out this time of the year as we get closer to the holidays. And real quick, shout out to our winning team this week at Maroon Brew Co. in Carterville. They heard about the new trivia location right here on the Jeff Calkins Show. They came out this week and they won. Their team name was, Did You Hear Bucky's is Coming to West Memphis. So congratulations to them for winning. And thanks for listening right here on 92.9 ESPN.
Right. Do we have a contestant, Jeffrey?
We do, Jeff. We welcome Blair and Horn Lake to the program.
Blair, welcome to the program. I'm turning things over to Kevin. Best of luck.
All right, this is Right or the Right Trivia. Your job is to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win. Of course, you got to play honorably, really just to walk away with the prizes. And we have another mega prize pack today, Jeffrey. What are we playing for?
Four tickets to see the Grizzlies tonight against the Bucks. Four tickets to the Mid-South Showdown. That's November the 17th when the Mississippi State Bulldogs take on Utah. That is at the Lander Center, as well as, compliments of you, 901 Wrestling tickets to the final show of 2024.
That's right, 901 Wrestling back at Minglewood Hall for the 901 Wrestling Classic Finals presented by the Memphis Flyer. That's coming up on November 24th, Sunday, the 24th. All right, here we go. Last week we did all spooky stuff. This week, It's still Halloween, so we're kind of in the spirit. We're going to give control of the spookiness to our contestant here today. So I'm going to give you the choice of two categories, spooky or not spooky. You've heard of Deal or No Deal. We're doing spooky or no spooky, and it's all up to Blair in Horn Lake to decide here. Do you want to start here, Blair, with true or false or spooky true or false?
Let's go with true or false, please.
True or false? Saxophones are a woodwinds instrument. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
That is true, yes. It has a wooden reed in it. So we've got a true for the answer and a point, which means spooky true or false for you, Jeffrey. True or false? Walmart sells cotton candy named and possibly flavored after Donald Trump's hair.
Oh, God. I'm going to say false.
That's wishful guessing there, because it is true. Is it fact true? You get cotton candy at Walmart named after Donald Trump's hair. I don't know if it's available at every location.
It's called impossibly flavored?
No, impossibly. I'm saying it's possibly flavored. I don't know what the flavor is of this Donald Trump hair.
See.
I don't know.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Cotton candy named after.
I was confused by that.
Impossibly.
All right. Score is 1-0. Blair leads. Next.
All right, we have movies or spooky movies?
Let's go with movies.
Movies. What Disney film was the first animated movie ever to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards?
Snow White?
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
I will steal this. Beauty and the Beast. Oh, no, final answer. Yes, Beauty and the Beast, final answer.
Beauty and the Beast.
That is correct. Yes, Beauty and the Beast.
What happened in your mind there, Jeffrey?
Because I don't know why. Like, I knew it was Beauty and the Beast, but then I thought I was saying like Snow White. But yeah, we're good.
All right, Jeffrey. As soon as that question was out there, Jeffrey was looking confident on the other side of the glass. I can tell you that it's 1-1, and Jeffrey has the next question.
Spooky movies, Jeffrey. What was the first Tim Burton film to win an Oscar in the category of Best Makeup?
Okay. All right. What was first? I'm going to say... I'm going to say Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands is incorrect. Blair, do you want to steal?
I'm going to try, yes.
All right.
I want to say Beetlejuice.
Yes, you can say that. Don't say it three times. It is correct, though. Oh, Beetlejuice.
Good back pull. And forth we go. Steal and then the steal right back. It's 2-1, and Blair's up.
All right, Blair. Brands or spooky brands?
Let's go with brands.
Smart playing here.
What Chevrolet compact car replaced the Cavalier in 2004 and itself was replaced by the Cruze in 2010?
Is it the Cobalt?
It is the Cobalt.
Oh, come on.
Congratulations, you got a point.
Blair's playing a great game.
Nailed it. 3-1. Holy smokes. The Cobalt.
Do you drive a Chevy, Blair?
I've worked at a parts store before.
There you go.
All right, 3-1. Jeffrey's
right around the right time.
Go ahead. And plus, Jeffrey's being stuck with spooky questions right down the line. He's got no control of the board. All right, over to Jeffrey.
Spooky brand, Jeffrey. What variety of Jawbreaker was introduced in 1954 and has since inspired a popular flavor of whiskey?
One more time.
What variety of Jawbreaker was introduced in 1954 and has since inspired a popular flavor of whiskey?
Fireball.
That is correct. We will count that. Atomic Fireball or Fireball.
3-2. Stays a contest. Do we have one more round in regulation?
One more round as we're going to fashion here. Fashion or spooky fashion?
I'm going to stick with the first. Let's go with fashion.
Fashion. A famous 1994 image of Dwayne The Rock Johnson shows him decked out in a black turtleneck, gold chain, and belted jeans. He's with his hand resting on what accessory that is back in fashion again?
A fanny pack.
Fanny pack is correct.
God. Jeffrey, this is tough, man. He's unrelenting. 4-2.
He's picking
spooky
the right
fashion,
category.
He's also picking the right category.
Yes.
4-2.
Sticking spooky with Jeffrey here. What cultural icon was last year's most popular Halloween costume in the United States and is not expected to regain that title this year? Not expected.
Who would have been popular?
I'd be shut out this today. I'd be honest. Completely shut out. This is why I put Jeffrey up as a human sacrifice.
I'm trying to think. What was popular last year?
Jeffrey keeps things current, right? You can think about a year ago.
All right. Say it again. What cultural icons?
It was last year's most popular Halloween costume, and not at all expected to hold on to that title.
Let's go with I'll say, God, who's Ariana Grande?
That is incorrect.
No,
he's already stolen, right?
No,
he's stolen.
No,
he's
got
Beetlejuice.
Yep.
We're looking for Barbie, Jeffrey. Barbie was last year's was most popular Halloween costume.
So the score is 4-2. Jeffrey, Jeffrey's wagering. How many do you want to wager, Blair?
Let's see. Let's go with one.
You got to beat him to win. You got to beat him to win, by the way. You can't tie.
Yeah, let's go with one.
You're wagering one. Jeffrey is wagering two. And so here we go. We'll start with Blair.
Okay, Blair. Your choice, I'm going to give you a choice of categories. Usually we pick a random number, but we've been doing it all game. So it's a special edition of Writer Than Right Trivia today. Do you want books or spooky books?
Oh, God. Right down to the end.
Let's go with, let's swap it up. Let's go spooky books.
Oh, all right. Surprise here at the end. Who wrote The Legend of Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, my gosh. Irving is his last name. I don't know his first.
I think Calkins, right? This is Jeopardy.
You got to give him the name. You got to give the full name.
Full name? Okay.
Because it could be John Irving, and he wrote The World According to Garp, and that's not the correct answer.
Irving. Washington Irving.
Nailed it!
Saying it's not John Irving does take away the
case. Oh, no, it didn't. So,
flip.
Oh, my goodness. Is he interfering? Grab the glove here.
It's now 5-2, and Jeffrey can't catch up. We have a Blair's going to win on the spooky Halloween, but Jeffrey, we do play to the last buzzer, last whistle, to the echo of the last whistle. Let's see if Jeffrey can make it a respectable.
Oh, wow. What a finish here. Okay. It's like we're the World Series. All right. We've got all types of interference. Rainbow Six is a video game series based on novels by what popular author of military fiction?
Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy is correct, Jeffrey. Quickly knowing the name.
Gallant. Casually knowing it. Blair wins 5-4.
Blair.
It took an unbelievable effort by Blair. You told him how to get the stuff?
Yes, yeah, I've got his information, and it's coming to you via email.
Kevin, how do people figure out where you're going to be?
Yeah, go to SaritaEntertainment.com, find out where we are tonight and every night. And as always, you will hear one or more of these questions from the Jeff Calkins Show at every one of our trivia nights around town. So you have an advantage for being a loyal listener here to 92.9 ESPN.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us, Kevin. Thanks for playing, Blair.
No,
and we will we'll be back in a moment. In the meantime, I do want to tell people that if you are looking for a new financial institution, as I was, Leaders Credit Union exists purely for the benefit of its members, and so there's no corporate or large take. All the money goes right back into you, to you, basically to you. It is a credit union. It's a nonprofit. It's based purely for the benefit of its members. It's why they can offer the 5% APY checking account special. earn up to 5% APY with Champion Rewards checking. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, easy access to your money through their mobile app. It's all available at Leaders. Claire and I went to the outlet in Bartlett, the branch in Bartlett, but there's a new one that's going to be opening soon in Arlington. Leaders, it's leaderscu.com/ESPN for more details. Got to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hey, Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the party?
I don't know, Jeff. Why?
Because he had no body to go with.
Hey-o.
Ha-ha! Try to interject a little humor and good feeling into this day. None of this lamenting. It's only five games in. The sky isn't falling. Sky has fallen, though, on New York, as we have a new World Series champion. You correctly identified Dodgers the better team. Turns out Dodgers better team at catching the ball.
And yes, there was a comedy of defensive errors.
Comedy of defensive errors. Honestly, it was not covering first that really bit him in the ass.
Not covering first. I mean, just kind of basic, like field ground balls, throw ground balls.
Yeah.
Catch ball.
And you know what? Kind of it was a theme all season for them.
No, I mean, they'd gotten
They were not good at the fundamentals. It's not unlike Memphis Tiger basketball, free throw shooting bit them in the end of their championship, what should have been their championship year.
No, I mean, they've even been sloppy in the playoffs defensively. And just finally, like, you just cannot, that's the thing about the Dodgers. You could not make mistakes with them.
Then we got the Texans at the Jets tonight. Now, people have noticed, Jeffrey, that no one's out of it in the AFC because the standings are such that someone's going to have to make the playoffs. There's three wild card teams, right?
Indeed.
So we're going to give Buffalo the AFC East. Right now, just for the sake of argument, we'll give Pittsburgh the AFC North, although it could be Baltimore. Whatever. We'll give one of the wild card teams, one of the wild cards to the other one. One will win, and one will be the wild card team. So they're taking up two spots. Then you've got Houston at 6-2 in the AFC South. They're going to take up a spot. And Kansas City at 7-0. Okay. So then you need two more wild card teams, right? Two more because you're giving one of them to Baltimore. So we'll say freaking Indianapolis, which is just making a quarterback change. We're going to give one to them because they're a 4-4 team. Although I don't necessarily think they
and
will
their
be
next
the team.
Four are pretty tough.
So that one is clearly up for grabs because then you've got then a 3-1 team has to be in. Oh, I know. It could be like
the Broncos at 5-3.
Oh, that's true. So the Broncos at 5-3, and Indianapolis at 4-4,
and the Chargers.
So that's it. So you got to catch. All you have to do, if you are the Jets, or the Bengals, or the Dolphins, or any team that aspires to be in the playoffs, that still aspires to be in the playoffs this year, you've got to catch. We'll say Indianapolis, right? Because you're going to give one of the wild cards to Baltimore and the other one to Denver.
I wonder if we should say you got to catch the Broncos.
Okay, you got to catch either Indianapolis at 4-4 or the Broncos at 5-3. If you are Cincinnati at 3-5, does that seem impossible?
It does not seem impossible. The problem is you start to do the math. It's like we think somebody's going to get to 9, right? 9 wins, it feels like the minimum.
As bad as the Jets' season is, this is the point. And it has been atrocious, a train wreck of a season. They are halfway through the season, two games out. And two games out behind teams that are not terrifying.
Right.
In Denver and Indianapolis.
For sure.
So, it's like this, they're still in the playoff hunt. Dolphins certainly still in the playoff hunt. They got Tua back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's also wild stuff happening.
I think if I'm betting on a two-win team, I think I'm betting on Miami. But
just
also,
because there's a reason to think.
Correct.
But if you're betting on a team that is not currently in the playoffs, would it be Cincinnati?
It's still Cincinnati, even though I do recognize they might be 3-5 for a reason, such as 203 points allowed.
So there you go. And then wild stuff happening. You got Anthony Richardson being benched. And I'll be honest, I struggle with that one.
I think that one was team related.
They did team. I think that's
his
probably
center
right.
called him out after the game. Like, if
it, just to preserve self respect, and when there's a rebellion in the locker room,
bingo,
you got to sit him.
Yeah,
circumstances dictated it.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams has no end of trouble.
Holy,
he last year he was suspended for the
gambling,
for
right?
Gambling.
Yes.
This year, substance abuse. And now he is performance enhancing, whatever.
But it was he only got two games instead of four, which I didn't.
And now he's being investigated because there was a
firearm.
Concealed weapon. Yeah. He wasn't arrested and taken into custody. Honestly, looking back at it, the cops are thinking, he got off because he's a lion, which he said evidently repeatedly over and over again. And so drama in the continuing drama in the NFL. Terrific team there, obviously, in Detroit. Over at FanDuel, you can get in on the action tonight's game. Same game, parlay, Texans and Jets. Texans at Jets. Build your own. Is this the breakout for Aaron Rodgers? Is this the night that it all comes together? Go ahead. Listen, if you bet one little measly $5 bet and win, and you're a new customer at FanDuel, you get $150 in bonus bets. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. What's coming up next, Jeffrey?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Drew Hill, Adam Chernoff, join them today. David Cobb will be my company today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Eric's going to join us at 2:40. It's Thursday, so that means Jeff joins Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.